All right, let's continue in our study today on this series. As we are going to study, we are going to get into the passive obedience of Christ. Passive obedience of Christ. What do you mean by passive obedience of Christ? What's the word passive mean? The word passive means suffering without resistance. If you do suffer in this world, we want to avoid that suffering, right? We want to resist the suffering. But here, passive obedience means Christ suffering without resistance. And now, the passive obedience of Christ means, why did Christ suffer? Why did Christ suffer anyway? If you remember, why did Christ have to suffer? If you remember, I asked this question way before. Why did God have to become a man? Why is it that incarnation necessary? If you remember that. And in the Old Testament, we see how God appeared, right? How God appeared to Abraham and all the Old Testament saints. God appeared, he came as a man. Remember how the Lord ate with Abraham? How? He could have come like that. And why did God have to suffer? Why did God have to become a man and suffer? And I told you, God in his nature, he cannot suffer, because God is what? Above suffering. That's why God has to become a man and to suffer as a man, go through the pain as a man. Reason is, you know that God is holy. He is holy. Why is he suffering? Why is it that Christ has to suffer? Reason is that Christ, in his passive obedience, he had to pay the penalty for his penalty for our sin by his suffering and his death. Okay? He had to pay the penalty of sin. Why? Because God is holy. He is infinitely holy, and sin against God is coming against its authority. When God's word says, no, this is what you should do, and when we break the law, what we do is we violate the law of God. We are coming against the very authority of God's word, and we are saying no to God and doing our thing. That is breaking the law of God. We have violated the law of God. Now, if we have violated the law of God, we are guilty before God, right? That's why Romans chapter 3 verse 19, it says every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, if you are guilty before God and if we have violated God's law, question is God going to let it go? Is he going to pass it? Is God going to just wink at your sins and say, that's all right, I'm very loving? No. The Bible says very clearly that God will not compromise with sin. He will not allow the sins to go unpunished. That is that thing. You know the scriptures, Nahum 1:3. It says here, the Lord, that is after Micah, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Not acquit the wicked. That will means he will not allow the sins to go unpunished. Now, sins have to be punished. That's why Christ came. Christ paid the penalty of sin by his suffering and his death. this suffering was judicially laid upon Christ. And they were penal suffering. What do you mean by penal suffering? Penal, the word penal comes from the Latin word P-O-E-N-A, pena. It means pain. You heard in our judicial system, penal code? Penal code, that means the code of laws that is relating to the punishment of the crime. Even in our system, if you violate the code of laws in this country, you are punished, isn't it? You go through some pain in prison. You go through some pain in giving back for what you have done, right? According to the nature of the punishment, crime you have committed. In the same way, Christ has to go through a penal. It was a penal suffering. That means whoever who says, no, Christ didn't go through any penal suffering. No, it's not. That's a lie. You know, he didn't have any pain. Of course, he was human. He had pain. And we are going to go through all that later. Okay? But today, I'm not going to go through all that. What I'm going to do today is just to show the day of Christ's suffering. That means within 24 hours, we are going to show at a glance his day that he went to the cross. Within 24 hours, you will take every hour and see his suffering. Then next week onwards, we will go more in depth to see his suffering. Alright? Now, if you see, you know, a lot of people say, how can God send Christ? How can he suffer? Of course, because we saw that God is holy. We have violated his commandments. And if somebody has violated his commandments, that person, if God is a good judge, he's a just God, he will punish the sinner. And Christ came in our behalf. He was our representative. And he came on our behalf as a second Adam. First Adam couldn't fulfill, so he had to take the pain on our behalf and suffer on the cross. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. Revelation 15:3 says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. You know, if you remember this, if you go a few scriptures before, here we see God, the God is pouring out his wrath. His wrath has come in full force. But yet, it says in the scriptures, great and marvelous are your works. Here, the wrath of God is coming in full force. Yet the scripture says those are great and marvelous works. Huh? Today we hear God is so loving, he will not allow anybody to punish. That's not what the word says. His wrath is coming. The word says his great marvelous are his works. Because why? Read the next one. Just true and are your ways, O King of sin, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. For all nations will come and worship you, for your judgments have been what? Manifested. God is a holy God. He's not going to tolerate sin. He's going to manifest his judgments. And God is an awesome God. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God that we worship. We are saved by the wrath of God. Understand? That's the gospel. The good news is the wrath of God, we are saved. And if you're in Christ Jesus, if you're a believer, you don't have to go through the punishment of God. Because Christ took that punishment. Now, remember, Christ Jesus, he came on a mission to give his life as a sacrifice. Remember, even when he had his birth, King Herod tried to kill him in his infancy. Remember? The Jews tried to kill him by stoning many times and tried to throw him down a hill. But they couldn't. Why? Because it was not his time. That's why Jesus said in John 10:18, "No man can take it from me, but I lay it down myself." John 10:18. "I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father." Now, in Exodus chapter 12, where we saw the scriptures, we to remember the Passover was inaugurated. Exodus chapter 12. You turn with me to Exodus 12. How God told the Israelites, God told Moses that, if you see chapter 12, I'm not going to read it because we read it before, and very clearly it says that how God told the Israelites to take a lamb without blemish, right? And to kill it in twilight in the evening. Then to put the blood where? On the doorpost, right? And roast it and eat it when the Lord is going to pass over, right? And if he sees the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn children or anything firstborn will be killed, right? Not be killed. Here comes the wrath of God, right? It's the wrath of God that is going to come. But if God sees the blood on the doorpost, God will pass over without the wrath falling. You understand? Now, we know Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Christ is the Passover lamb. All these things in the Old Testament are shadows, and it is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? 1 Corinthians 5:7, Apostle Paul says here, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ of a Passover was sacrificed for us." Remember how John, when he saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Now, let us begin how Jesus, on his day that he was going to the cross, and he started around 6 in the evening, according to the Jewish times, you know, Genesis chapter 1 verse 5, "And God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So, according to the Jewish time, comes the evening, then morning. And here, around 6 o'clock in the evening, Christ with his disciples celebrated the Passover meal. That's around 6 in the morning. Okay? And they ate the Passover until about 8 in the night. Now, I want to see this. I want you to get a good, clear picture. I want you to be in this. In this time, so you will really see the pain and the agony that Christ went this 24-hour time. Okay? So it started around 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Christ was with his disciples. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 22:15, we are going to go through a lot of scriptures today, so that'll be quick. Luke 22:15. "Then he said to them, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." You see that word suffer? Means what? What's the meaning of suffer? It means suffer. It means pain. It means a penal punishment. You understand? Alright. Now, then at about 8 o'clock in the evening, he washed his disciples' feet Remember that? That's around 8 after the, this is Passover meal, around 6 to 8, then around 8 o'clock in the evening, he washed his disciples' feet, then leaning on the table, he told about Judas, who is going to betray him. Then he continued with the disciples till about 9 in the evening, in the night time. If you turn with me to John chapter 13 now. In starting from verse 1, remember the Passover, we were talking about that. That was the beginning here, right? Christ is the Passover lamb. And now before the feast of the Passover, that's what John 1:13:1 says, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, you see the end of the supper now, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Now remember, this is the last day on this earth before the resurrection, that before going to the cross, he did it. So this is in the night time. You understand? Before the Passover. Now, at about 9 in the evening, which is called the second watch, according to the Jewish time, Judas the traitor went out from his disciples. When the traitor is gone, Christ comforts his disciples in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Christ comforts the disciples. Gives some good comforting edification here. Now turn with me to John chapter 13, back again, and see verse 21. It says here, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And of course, in verse 30, you know the whole story there. And verse 30 says, having received the piece of bread, that is Judas Iscariot, he then went out immediately, and it was what? Night. Right? They say it was night. So this is basically this is around 9 o'clock. Okay? So he went to betray him. And then of course John 14, 15 and 16 and 17, Christ comforts the disciples and he prays for them. If you see John, of course, this was a shock for the disciples to see that there was the person who is going to betray is where? Within them. Right? It was a great shock. Now, how if you have some friends, if you are together with friends all the time, you eat with them, you fellowship with them, and you use the word, the Bible, and so forth like that, and you are being with Christ, and suddenly you know that one of your friends within your own group is a traitor. And Christ is going to expose that traitor. What emotionally, everybody is going to get into a shock, right? See John chapter 14, verse 1. This is the comforting part, where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. See that? You believe in God, believe in also me. So you will see John 14, 15, 16, and 17, how he comforted the disciples. Especially how he prayed for the disciples. John 17 and so forth. You see that? You understand? I'm trying to put this in one 24-hour basis, so we will get a kind of a glimpse at it, okay? Now we see the night of his suffering from around 10 o'clock until 12 midnight, he goes over the brook Cedron or brook Kidron to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed earnestly with sweat and blood. Okay, soon after that he goes to brook Kidron, where there was a garden. And if you turn with me to John chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples. This is after comforting the disciples. Where does he go? He go with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. You know that garden? Garden of Gethsemane, which he and his disciples entered. This is the beginning of his suffering. And we are going to get into this next week more in depth. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 22:14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, Luke chapter 22 verse 44. Sorry. Alright, let's start from verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. He was accustomed with his disciples also follow him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them from a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony. Meaning what? Pain. Right? In agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down the ground. Of course, as I told you, as we go on with these penal sufferings on Christ, this is going to be a series that's going on. We will get it more in depth in this particular scripture. But today we are going to see just a glance. Then from 12 o'clock, until 3 o'clock in the morning, okay, 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning, he was betrayed. This is where the soldiers came, brought him to Jerusalem, and took him to the house of Annas, who was one of the chief priests. Now if you turn with me to John chapter 18, 12, and it says here, then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Remember, this is where Judas Iscariot is the one who led them, who betrayed him, who led them. He knew where Jesus was. Remember that? So they came and arrested him and bound him, and they led him to an Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now, then from 3 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, you can see Christ doesn't have any sleep here, right? You see that? From 6 o'clock in the evening until the whole night, he had no sleep. Now, from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning, they took him from Annas to Caiaphas. This is where Peter denied him three times, and this is where the Jews condemned him. If you turn with me now to Matthew 26, I want to show you, because all the Gospels doesn't go... they give in different ways the scene, so I want to see you the give you the story in a 24-hour basis what happened. So turn with me to Matthew 26, 57. 26:57. And those who laid him, and those who had laid hold of Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. So from Annas, now they took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Of course, you know what happened on verse 28. But Peter also followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went and sat with the servants to see the end. And of course, there were eyewitnesses. And remember verse, Peter, you know, verse 69, you see Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and saying, "You are also with Jesus of Galilee." Verse 70, we see that he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out, another girl saw him and said, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth," but again he denied. And then, of course, verse 73 says, and a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you're also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man. Do not know Jesus." Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Now, this is around 6 o'clock in the morning now, from 3 to 6, all this is happening. And then we will see when the sun was now rising in the morning. Now this is the following day. The sun is rising in the morning. And now our Savior, our blessed Lord, is brought to Pilate. Around this time, Judas Iscariot, he hangs himself and commits suicide. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, verse 14. And here, verse 12 says, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. And here we see the whole story as they were brought to Pilate here. Alright. Now around 7 in the morning, Christ was taken from Pilate to Herod. And this was exactly probably about 1 year before Herod put John the Baptist to death. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Now this is around 7 in the morning now. Luke chapter 23. It says here, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And 6 says, and as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent to Herod, and he was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And here, of course, Pilate and Herod, you know, Jesus being sent forth from Pilate back into Herod. And of course, we know what happened, where Herod was a very wicked person. And we see around 8 o'clock in the morning, they took him back to Pilate, back again from Herod, back again to Pilate. All right? And this is where they asked the Jews if they would have Jesus or Barabbas. Remember that? Luke chapter 23 verse 11 says here, then Herod with the men of war treated him contempt and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. Of course, they put a nice robe on him, kind of mockingly. And that day, very day, Pilate and Herod became friends. Even enemies became friends, okay, with each other. They had enmity with each other. Then verse 13, then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to him, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault. And of course, we see the story. That time, in verse 15, no, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. Why did you bring him back to me? Then verse 16, I will therefore chastise him and release him. You know, give him a punishment and let him go. Verse 17 says, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. So at the feast, this feast coming, somebody has to be released, okay? So then they all cried at once, they remember, somebody has to be released. Then the Jews cried and said, away with this man, release us Barabbas. See the story there. Now, around 9 o'clock in the morning, which the Jews, they call the third.
Matthew 27, starting from verse 26, we see a story.
They were going to release Barabbas. And 26 says, then he released Barabbas to them, and when he has crowned Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You see that? Christ was whipped. And we are going to see this more in depth in our later series, how they whipped him. And verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Wow. Imagine. God Almighty, with the angels worshiping day and night, and he came as a suffering servant, was obedient to the cross. Why? For the sins that you and I have committed, he had to go through this. He didn't deserve it. It's because of the sins that you and I committed, that we did on our own will, according to our passions that we like to do. Somebody had to pay the penalty. And the penalty was it's not easy. What humility is this, isn't it? He's a God Almighty who owns the universe. Where everybody is, if he wanted to, he could have sent just one angel to kill everybody instantly. But he didn't. He didn't open his mouth. Why? Because he will rather go through the will of the Father who sent him. In agony, he will go through. Because he came to set us free. Wow. Now, where do I stop? Now, around 10 in the morning, they publicly condemned Jesus to be crucified. Matthew 27:31, of course we saw that. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Turn with me to John chapter 19, verse 14. Exodus chapter 12, God told the Israelites to kill a lamb. That was the Passover, right? And that happened what time? During the twilight time, right? Okay, now go to John chapter 19, verse 14. And it says, now it was the preparation day for the Passover, And about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, behold your king, verse 15, and they cried out, and said, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. It was on the day of preparation for the Passover. Our Passover lamb, the true Passover lamb, is Jesus Christ. Amazing how God ordained this time, huh? Exactly, minute by minute, hour by hour, exactly how it should go. Then about 11 in the morning, our Savior, the Lord, our Lord, He carried the cross and He was brought to a place called Golgotha, where He was nailed to the cross and He was crucified. John chapter 19 verse 17 says, "And He bearing His cross went out to a place, the place of a skull, which was called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him and two others with Him, one on either side and Jesus in the center." Then around 12 noon now, when they crucified Him, around 12 noon the Jews called the sixth hour. What happened was the sun, there was an eclipse, and the sun hid its face. Literally, the sun hid its face. When the sun hides the face, what's going to happen? There was going to be darkness. And there was darkness for about 3 hours. There was darkness. That means from 12 o'clock noon until 3 in the afternoon, there was total darkness. See Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, as 3 hours, there was darkness. Right? From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, so there was darkness. There was from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was total darkness. And if you turn with me to Amos, which he prophesied on this, Amos chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," talking from Amos' time to the future, and says here, "says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at what time? At noon." Exactly, that's what happened. The sun went down at noon. "And I will darken the earth in what time? In broad daylight. And I will turn your feast." Now, of course, we know the feast. What's the feast? The feast of the Passover. It's time to celebrate the feast. "And I will turn your feast into what? Into mourning. And your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head, and I will make it like the morning for an only son, and it end like a bitter day." Wow, what a prophecy. What a prophecy. Literally fulfilled when he cried. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, 51. Matthew 27, 51. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." And here we see at this time, also within this time, what happened? The temple split into two. "At about 3 in the afternoon, with the Jews called the ninth hour." Now, from 12 to 3, he was crucified, but Christ is still alive on the cross with agony in pain. He's still alive. Then around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he cried out and said, "It is finished." John chapter 19, verse 30. "So when Jesus had received our wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Wow. So here we see that he was crucified probably around 11. Around that time he was crucified. Then around 3 in the afternoon, he was still alive. Just see how many hours He was there on the cross. And it is the most painful death. It is not an instant death. It is the most cruel death. And God sent His Son into the world. The Galatians says, when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son to die to be a sacrifice for our sins, right? When the fullness of our time came. That means when the punishment for sin was most heinous, most difficult, when a person has done a crime, the crucifixion is the most painful thing that you can bear, because it is not an instant death, not unlike today. The guy who blew up Oklahoma City, the building over there, Timothy McVeigh, just an injection. That's the punishment today. Electric chair, just instantly. But the punishment that time, it was more painful. Crucifixion, sometimes it's hours and hours and hours. You've got to go through the pain until you die, and you're gasping for breath. And this was the most painful punishment that any person can go through. Then around 4 p.m., our Savior was pierced with a spear, and out of His side came blood and water. John chapter 19:34. John 19:34. Just to give you that he was crucified at the twilight time, as just like the Passover lamb was to be crucified. See verse 31 says, therefore, because it was the preparation day and the body should be not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Now, we are going to go through more in depth into this, as I told you later, okay, in our studies. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. I'll tell you, the agony that Jesus bore was more severe. That's why he even died before. You're going to see that later in our studies. At about 5 p.m., where the Jews called the 11th hour, and the last hour of the day, he was buried. Now, what time did he start? 6 o'clock in the morning, right? 6 in the evening, right? The Passover meal. Now, the following day, 5. That means Jesus never had any sleep. Remember? He had to go through all that pain and the agony, carrying the cross, all the mocking, everything he went through. Of course, remember, he was God, fully God. He is at the Father's bosom, the most comfortable, luxurious place, the Father's bosom, leaving Father's bosom to this wicked world and coming as a suffering servant. Servant is the worst occupation of that day, to be a slave. And he came as a slave from the highest to the lowest. He came and he went through the punishment that was due to you and me. In Exodus chapter 12, we see if God told the Israelites to sacrifice the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, and God is going to go over and his wrath is going to come upon whoever the blood is not there on the doorpost, but when God sees the blood, he will pass over. Now that is very true to each one of us, and what's going to happen, because Christ took that penalty. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed. Now the wrath of God is going to come. The wrath of God is going to come. He is going to see if you have Christ's blood been applied to your heart. And if you are a true believer in Christ, Christ died for you. If you are a believer, Christ died for you. Amen. If you are not a believer, and you're always, you hear the message, but you have never ever made a commitment, or you have never repented of your sins, and Christ is more like a leader, a religious person for you, and you have heard him, he's a good teacher, and Christ is more like a religion for you, it's not a relationship with you that you have with Christ. It's a religion that you come to church. That's the only time you hear about Christ, when you come to church. And you don't have a relationship with Christ. What do you mean in a relationship? Communication, right? Love communication, an intimate fellowship, right? Just like husband, wife, children, you have intimate fellowship. That means you talk, right? You eat together. You stay in the same house together, right? You have fellowship with one another. But if you don't have that fellowship with Christ, if you're saying, yes, I know Jesus, but in your heart, you don't know him really. Jesus will tell you, in that day, I never knew you. Away from me. You think that you know Jesus, but Jesus doesn't know you. So you need, if you don't have that fellowship with him, how do you fellowship with him? What's the communication? It's the Word. The Word became flesh. The Word is what? When the Bible says the Word became flesh, it means God became a man. The Word is his divine communication. It's the Word. This is where we read, we understand the Word. We communicate through the Word of God, to God. And you had that divine communication with him. You read the Word. When you read the Word strikes you at your sins. And you know, these are my sins. And when you read the Word will expose your sins. When the Word exposes your sins, what do? You will say, well, that's good for me. That's a great blessing. You go away. No. You repent of those sins. You fall down and break. Ask God, please, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And tears come to your eyes when you see those things. Because you know what? Christ took the punishment for the believer, for you, if you're a true believer. Because Christ went through the agony. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They spat on him. For what? For my sins. And your sins, if you're a believer. Wow. See the pain that he went through. This is what is called the penal punishment of Christ. Because the code of law has been broken and justice is required because God is holy. His judgments are holy and it is manifested and his judgment is glorious judgment. It's a great judgment. God is holy. He's a glorious God. But somebody has to take the punishment. And I tell you, if you don't have that fellowship with Christ, that intimate fellowship with Christ, the wrath of God is going to come. His punishment will come. When his punishment comes, then his punishment is going to be severe. And we know it's going to be where? In hell. In utter darkness. Remember, in utter darkness, that means in darkness, you will look for a light, you will not see light. How if you are in darkness? How many people are scared of darkness? Darkness is going to be forever, for eternal this time. It's not going to be for a short time, it is forever. You'll be in darkness, and in pain, in agony. That's where, remember, if you remember Abraham, God told Abraham, take your only son to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. And Abraham was obedient. He went on a 3-day journey. And he took his son. And the son asked, Father, where is the sacrifice? And of course, Abraham said, God will provide. Remember that story? How God, then Abraham bound his son, and he was going to, with his knife, he was going to come on his son, he was going to sacrifice his son, and the angel of the Lord came and stopped him and said, God will provide a lamb. God provided a lamb for the sacrifice at that time. God provided Jesus Christ for the sacrifice. You can see, this is the book of life. This Bible contains life. Jesus said, John chapter 6, 63, the words that I speak are not just words, but it contains life. This book, from the beginning to the end, is talked about what? There's blood flowing all the way through, from the beginning to the end. It's always, there are sacrifices. You remember, Abel brought a better sacrifice, right? Cain didn't. But Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God. But the book of Hebrews says, but the sacrifice of Christ was even better. Because he himself was a sacrifice. He himself was a victim. He is a priest and a victim both. Wow. Remember the hymn that says, you sinners seek his face, whose wrath you cannot bear. Fly to the shelter of his cross and find salvation there. That's where we find salvation. At the foot of the cross, we find salvation. That's where life begins. Because Christ was crucified on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have no words to express the agony and the pain that our Savior went through. There's no pictures that we can portray. No painter can portray a picture of the agony that Christ went through. Nothing can portray and show the in-depth pain and the agony that Christ went through. Our words cannot. It's something that is beyond our humanity, Lord. It's something beyond, because Christ came from heaven. And he came to this earth and he went through everything, Lord, but it is written by his disciples in this book, in the Word of God. But the true emotions, the true feelings, now we cannot even express, Lord. And you have given us just a little bit today, Lord, that we went through. But, oh Father, something that our hearts cannot even comprehend, Lord. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord. The words that we heard, and that we will truly look to Christ. As Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man will be lifted up. So all men will be drawn to him. And here, the serpents in the wilderness were biting and people were dying. And God told Moses to make a bronze serpent. And whoever looks at the serpent will be healed. They don't have to do anything. But in the same time, Christ, he did the works that was required by the law for us on our behalf. He was obedient to the law of God. He was obedient even to the cross, that he went through the pain and the agony. And he is lifted up on the cross. Now whoever who looks to Christ, we don't have to do any works. We were bitten by the serpents. We were poisoned by sin. And we are the ones who are going to go through. We are the one who are going to hell, but cause us to see that the wrath of God is coming, that we will look to the cross. and that we would feel that we will look to the cross, then we don't have to do any works, but the works of Christ is sufficient enough, and that Christ will forgive us. And if you don't know Christ today, if you don't know Jesus, He can forgive you. But repent of your sins, and Christ will come to your heart, and He will give you a new life. You don't have to go through the life you have been going before. You can have an abundant life in Christ. That means that you will follow the Master, and you will not follow yourself. You will follow the Master, and you will be excited in the salvation. You will be enjoying that salvation. You will be rejoicing of the salvation that He has given, because blessed is a man whose sins are not imputed to him. David cried out, blessed is the man whose sins are not covered, but whose sins are forgiven. Wow! What a great joy to have our sins forgiven for what Christ did for us. This is all what He did on our behalf. Amazing. Father, thank You, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.